How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. I'm a little hoarse today. You could hear it in my voice. I had a very long night. It was my father's 70th birthday yesterday. We had a it actually was amazing. I had people come to the house that I haven't seen in 15 years for my dad's birthday. We had an excellent time, a little too much of a good time. But I'm here to talk about Roman Reigns returning to SmackDown. Very interesting. I'm really curious how a babyface Roman will be portrayed in this company, because historically, never good. He was never a great babyface, but when he became the tribal chief and he became the head of the bloodline, just, man, amazing stuff. So I'm very curious how that's going to shape up. All In, talk about shaping up. All In is totally starting to shape up. Matches are getting announced. Still some key matches missing. We'll go into that. I want to get our producer's opinion on this, too. Collision results. I believe this was the last, right? This was the last of the Texas tapings. One more. We have one more Texas taping here. You know, I think it was successful. They got money from the municipality. You know, essentially it was, you know, whatever, 1,800, 1,200, 1,500 people in the building. I think this was a test to see if this is sustainable. Also, legendary professional wrestler, the Booker man himself, Kevin Sullivan, has passed away. We're going to talk about this at the age of 74. A very unique character at a time where you did not see things like this. Interesting stuff. Paved the way for a lot of guys in the world of professional wrestling. We have this and a whole lot more coming up on Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. A lot of news to talk about. Let's start with something. Not so happy, not so positive. But, man, what a legendary professional wrestler. A booker. Kevin Sullivan has passed away at the age of 74. You know, my first memory of Kevin Sullivan would be probably my dad getting, he was going down to Virginia and he would always bring back these wrestling magazines that he would get at like a truck stop or like whatever, you know, a rest stop. And he would always bring, you know, those wacky covers. And, you know, Kevin Sullivan was all over those things, you know, just the demonic, the Prince of Darkness. This devil worshiper character. And it was something that you never saw before. Especially, listen, I was a kid. I grew up on WWF television. Early days, right? Talking 1987, 1988. You didn't see things like this. But he's best remembered for that role. Obviously, he rivaled Dusty Rhodes in Florida. He was also the booker in Florida and WCW. That famous moment with Brian Pillman. The pencil booker man. Fascinating stuff. He had a hand in creating the NWO, including keeping Hulk Hogan hidden for the day before. I think that's one of the funniest stories, that Kevin Sullivan essentially, and I'm adding to this, right? But he kidnapped Hulk Hogan. That should have been a storyline of its own. He kidnaps Hulk Hogan, puts him in his house in Florida, and doesn't let anybody get to him, including his agent, so they can't sway the what they were about to do. Fascinating. WWE did a very good job with a video package on SmackDown, and AEW had a graphic up as well, and he was mentioned on Collision. Instrumental guy in the world of professional wrestling. MG, our producer here, a couple years older than me. I'm being very nice there. I'm being nice. A couple years. Your memories of Kevin Sullivan, because you watched way more Kevin Sullivan when it was happening than I ever did.
Well, he was one of those pockets that I didn't see really early on. The Dungeon of Doom stuff is where I really, really got to know, you know, the character, because they kind of recreated the Dusty stuff in WCW in the 90s, you know, with the, you know, he was synonymous with Paul White or Big Show or then the Giant getting over, right? You know, and they put the title on him with, you know, Kevin Sullivan was kind of had his hand in that. And that's where I really remember him. And the one that I just, for some reason, it just came up this week. We were talking about it because of the, because of the Jeff Jarrett Danielson match in the mezzanine this week or in the concourse. I go, this just has Kevin Sullivan versus Chris Benoit up in the stands all over it for me. And it made me remind me of that. Then the next day, we found out he passed. So it was, you know.
The Kevin Sullivan, Chris Benoit rivalry that turned into reality is something so bizarrely fascinating to me. The fact that he essentially, you know, he booked his divorce.
Well, he booked a lot of things in that, didn't he?
Booked a lot of things, yeah. and also, he, you know, he was one of the reasons why Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Perry Saturn took off to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Conan was supposed to go as well, and so was Shane Douglas. You know, a lot of this had to do with the fact that Benoit did not feel comfortable that Kevin Sullivan would have been able to do a positive job here. There were threats happening. It was going to become an HR disaster, and they were able to leave and, you know, have the second part of their careers in WWE. Very interesting stuff. Legendary wrestler and booker, very instrumental. What a highly intelligent man. I spoke to Kevin once in my life, and just a very smart guy, very, very smart guy, and understood wrestling and charming, very charming.
Those
if you ask anybody, that's what they say.
Those that I've heard talk to him usually come away with some, like, feeling smarter about the business. That's how I've always thought of him.
You know, there's a couple of those guys. There's a couple of those guys. I want to say, you know, someone that I had a one-on-one with was Tom Pritchard, another one of those very highly intelligent guys. And when you're done speaking to them, you get this enlightenment of, oh, wow, now I see it. I had, I was hosting some, I think it was WrestleMania 29. There was something that I got paid to produce a show in the studio, and Tom Pritchard came. He was on it. And forget about what happened on that show. Because it wasn't really I don't remember it as much. But afterwards, this man sat on my floor in my living room and played with my dog and just spoke about wrestling. I got a seminar from Tom Pritchard in my living room. X-Pac was
not
also supposed to show up, but he didn't make it. Yeah, not too many people could say that. And you know what? I don't take it for granted, and I'm very blessed that I've been around these amazing minds. But Kevin Sullivan, one of those guys, for sure.
Absolutely.
Let's go into some of the stories here. Tony Khan did a teaser on Twitter. And he said the most important announcements in AEW history are essentially coming. The tweet was right before Collision. This to me speaks TV deal. We've been talking about this for 2 years now, this TV deal. And I get, I've been getting a lot of comments, people saying, like, you've been talking about this for 2 years. Well, yeah.
Feels like it.
Well, yeah, because think about all the things that have happened in 2 years in that company. They added a second show. They got an increase in pay. They've had people come in and out. You know, they are an instrumental part of Warner. Live programming is very important. First run programming is very important. 52 weeks a year programming live is very, very important and very unique. There's nothing other than the news, really, and professional wrestling. I mean, what else is 52 weeks of live programming? The weather, the news, and professional wrestling. And you know what? Wrestling may not be the most corniest of all those three at this point. The deal's going to happen. It's just a matter of how much. What are they getting? Where are they going? There are some key indicators here that say a lot. One, the Ring of Honor possible rebranding of AEW Presents Ring of Honor was very telling when Tony mentioned it. One thing about Tony is that when you do get bits and pieces of stuff like this, there's a reason behind it. The other thing that I always was fascinated by is when somebody told me that Tony was very interested in having a possible simulcast on digital, right? On streaming, rather than just being on linear television, having a simulcast that is happening at the same time on Max. We saw this with the NBA. We've seen other properties do this as well.
The Olympics is
the
doing
Olympics
it, and I
has been
tell
doing
you,
it.
I've watched all the Olympics on Peacock.
So. Have you really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're a fan of the Australian breakdancer, right?
No comment.
I don't know what that was. But apparently it's not coming back, the breakdancing. Also, yesterday we saw, one of the most beautiful suplexes I've ever seen in my life. Kennedy Blades of Team USA hit a stunning German suplex. And if there was ever a perfect German to hit in actual wrestling, right? Not professional wrestling, in Olympic level wrestling, I've never seen anybody deliver it like that. How would she not be on the radar of getting signed to an NIL? I don't know, but very impressive. Very, very impressive. When we come back, we're going to talk about SmackDown, Roman Reigns, AEW Collision, Wrestle Dream announcement, and a whole lot more. Also, there is an NIL, somebody that got congratulated, NIL class member winning Olympic gold. We'll talk about that as well. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. You know, my producers are yelling at me, like my detractors on Twitter, on X. By the way, you can follow me on X, at Andrew Zarian. You know, John, our producer here that does all the technical stuff, he goes, hey, you know what? I'm sick of you talking about this deal. Can it just get done already? And I'm like, dude, I know. I'm in the same boat. He goes, it's been going on for years. I'm like, I know. When those guys are messaging me on X, and they're like, you've been talking about this for years. I'm like, now I have a guy in my ear heckling me while I'm doing the show. It's seeped into the real world. See, he's yelling right now in my ear. Saying, you know something you're not saying. I don't know. I know I've said everything I know. But the deal will come. Also, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful has been on top of this. And I believe he tweeted that there will be information coming soon. So we'll see what happens here. Let's see. Where do we go? Dealer's choice. Where should we start? Let's go with SmackDown. Cody opened the show with plans of announcing who he will face at Bash in Berlin. He was interrupted by Solo and the rest of the Bloodline, minus Jacob Fatu, which is not a good sign. Jacob, during SummerSlam, injured his ankle, his leg. He was wearing a boot after the show. He deemed a rematch in which Cody, this is Solo, he deemed a rematch in which Cody completely turned him down. To go to attack Cody, Kevin Owens comes in for the save with a chair. After the Bloodline leaves Cody, Cody tells Kevin Owens that he wants to face him in Berlin. Owens initially declined, saying there was more worthy people than him. Why would anybody say that?
Babyface?
I mean, the babyface is offering you a title shot. There are two babyfaces here. And you're like, I don't deserve it. He's a former world champion, universal champion.
Well, the fact that they're mentioning win-loss records again is a positive for me.
You like that?
It makes sense to me. Yeah, I like, yeah. Mm. That's good. For me, at least.
Yeah, okay. You know what? They'll have a great match. I don't know. This card is shaping up to be... You know, I'm interested in the Damian Priest and Gunther match. I'm interested in this. Obviously, this is a in-between pay-per-view. This is the next.
I don't think we've mentioned.
What?
I don't think we've gotten the Gunther. The Gunther. You mean the Gunther.
I'm sorry. Gunther and Randy. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading Damian Priest on my screen here. Randy Orton and Gunther. And that'll be. And that's a great international match, right? You have Gunther there. And you have Randy Orton, which is transcended into a legend. Frames are falling. Things are falling here on the studio. My dog's framed photo as the Shah of Iran is falling here. I think that's a great match, and the crowd will eat it up. And this is a nice secondary match. You know, everybody will leave home happy. Everybody will go home happy, I should say. After Cody did that, he inspected, that's the match now. WWE Tag Team Championship Contenders match. The Street Profits defeated A-Town down under. I see a breakup coming, huh?
With Austin Theory and Grayson Waller,
yeah.
Yes.
I think it's time. Yeah, it needs to happen. Yeah. You know, I think they're both really good. Austin Theory, he got a weird... He was positioned very strange, right? He became Vince's guy, right? On TV.
Yeah, and that might have been his downfall.
And that really was his downfall.
Kind of sent him in a fork that he couldn't come back from easily.
You know, I saw him wrestle on the indies a couple times for Evolve. And I always felt, I mean, I felt that there was something with him. He has something, for sure. I think a singles run would be much better. Him and Grayson feuding would be good. That would build both of them up. I think this is a nice step for them. Listen, a lot of people don't look like Austin Theory. Great body, great look, handsome guy. Good wrestler. You have to use that. You have to propel the strengths here. Interesting. I'm curious how that ends up. Backstage, Cody was discussing with Nick Aldis about giving Kevin Owens an undisputed WWE championship match. Owens enters the room and continues the protest. Nick Aldis brought up, he's another guy, man. I want to see him wrestle. Nick Aldis. He was still in his prime. He was still wrestling tremendously. Aldis brought up that he had discussed potentially giving a title shot to Roman Reigns. Owens pointed out the rematch clause hadn't been enforced in years. So I guess they're talking about this now publicly, right? Like, technically, the champion that loses has an automatic title shot. You're automatically still the number one contender for a rematch. Because now you're number two.
It hasn't been since Shane came out all those years ago and said it's antiquated, we're not doing that anymore.
When was that?
And it had 2016 when they did the brand split.
Oh, is that what it was? Oh my gosh,
I'm pretty
yes.
sure it was that far back. Maybe in there somewhere, 16 or 17. It might have been after they did the fake, we were going to listen to the fans now and we're firing everybody and the fans are taking, remember that whole thing?
And then they came out to the ring and they said, you know, and they did nothing.
Yeah, and they changed for 2 weeks, and then Vince said, we're not doing that, and then they just ignored everybody for, like, 3 years.
Yeah, so Owens pointed out the rematch clause hadn't been enforced in years, and there were other people in the locker room that deserve a title match over Roman. This led to Aldis making it official, Bash of Berlin, Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens for the undisputed WWE Championship. Great!
And Owens did this in a way that got me fired up for the match. I mean, this was a very passionate, quick little promo that set everything up. So we're getting a babyface versus babyface match. It'll probably be fun as hell.
It'll be a fun match. Maybe Kevin goes heel.
Could be.
I'm sure the Bloodline will interrupt and beat them down and something. You know, they could do something wacky. And it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter because that crowd is going to eat up whatever they do because they don't get wrestling like this. Ever. WWE's not there. We'll see. Jade Cargill defeated Alba Fire. This was, I believe, her fourth singles match since signing up with WWE. I think I read this online, that if you add up all of Jade's singles matches in AEW, and you add up all, if you add up everything here, there was some like weird time discrepancy. I think she's wrestled 29 seconds more. Fascinating statistic. I don't know. LA Knight U.S. Championship celebration. He came out to a big reaction, huh?
Oh, he's over.
And a different... it was the theme different?
Yes, they changed his theme.
They changed it, and you liked it?
I was indifferent to it, but people did point it out online. I didn't notice
people did like it. People were liking it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't bad. LA Knight came out, big reaction. You know, he is a throwback. He really is a throwback to 1998 when it comes to a wrestler. His promos, his style of wrestling, his attitude. You know, this is something that you don't see too often. He's more grit than polish, which I like. I'm saying personality-wise. It's nice to see it again. He would end up being interrupted by Santos Escobar setting up the next match. They also showed Lou Ferrigno at ringside.
I found this fascinating for one reason. Why? You remember in 19... Well, he would have been young, but 1991, the WBF, the Bodybuilding Federation...
Yes, and had, he
was going
bailed.
To be the star, and he ended up pulling out on Vince. And I don't think this... I don't think this guy would have been loud... on the same freeway as the arena if Vince was still in charge.
Was the story that he pulled out because they were going to steroid test?
Yes.
That was allegedly the story, right?
Something like it. I honestly, I used to have this mapped out. I had been talking about doing something more in-depth on this for years. So I had it all written down, but I forget the actual steps that happened there. But yeah.
You know what? Maybe we could do that for Matt Men on Friday next week. We could go into Lou Ferrigno's WBF run. I mean, listen, I remember ordering that paper because my father was a bodybuilder. And so was my grandfather. My grandfather was a real body, like a ridiculous bodybuilder. We would always watch those bodybuilding competitions. And when it happened, I was so excited because I was like, it's bodybuilding, but kind of like wrestling. And I was really disappointed that it was just a bodybuilding competition with, Heenan on commentary and Vince and Gene.
You get the famous striation line.
Look at the striations. Gary Stridham. Wow. Look at those striations. Fantastic. A vignette for Giovanni Vinci was shown, promising he's coming to SmackDown soon. United States number one contendership match. Santos Escobar defeated Andrade. Good match. These two are good. There was a Kevin Sullivan video. Tag team championship contender match. Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa defeated Pretty Deadly. You're seeing the progress of this tournament. Bloodline was shown backstage, going out to confront Roman Reigns. Solo ensured the Tongans he would show up. Now I'm going to leave you with a little teaser. When we come back from our break, I'm going to talk about this segment. I wanted to give this some time. Roman's return to SmackDown. This was a hot segment. I really liked it. I saw some people being critical of it. I have no idea why. I thought this was done exactly on how they should have done it. This is a plus for them. This is a major plus to have Roman back. I'm very curious how this ends. Will we see a Roman Reigns and CM Punk in the future? We're going to find out. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. You know, this Roman Reigns segment, and I tease Punk, not because there was anything that alluded to this, but you're thinking about these potential matches for Roman, right? He's out of this bloodline. I mean, this is eventually going to culminate and he's a babyface, but you're going to have to remove him from the bloodline stuff eventually when this culminates. Most likely probably at War Games. They're going to do a tribal warfare or whatever they want to call it. You're going to have Roman side. You're going to have Solo side. Maybe Dwayne gets involved. Maybe there's something else. But I'm really intrigued to see this version of Roman having matches with guys like Drew McIntyre that has peaked and continuing to grow. CM Punk, this version of Seth Rollins, it's not going to be the same that it was years prior. The booking philosophy has changed post Vince. The presentation has changed post Vince. Very interested to see how this goes. But Roman returned. Solo demanded he come out and try to take his what is it called?
Ulafala.
His Ulafala from him. I didn't
want to... Chili pepper necklace for those that need a visual representation.
Yeah, a visual. Roman came out to one of the biggest pops I've heard in recent years. I don't care for his new theme, by the way. That's just me. I could be wrong. We all have our musical opinions. He takes out everyone at ringside. He attacks. Oh, by the way, one of the funniest moments of this is how Tangaloa held that title. He has to be doing it on purpose at this point. He didn't hold it like this.
Mm-hmm.
He held it like this. Like, I can't, at one
people
side.
On the radio can't see you.
People so. Cannot see it. I'm so sorry. He held it in the most awkward way. And I'm like, he has to do that on purpose. That's, I laughed when he held it up. I really laughed. He came out, he cleared everybody at ringside. He attacked Solo, very similar to what he did at SummerSlam. He got his hands on the necklace briefly, and pieces of it went flying. Roman has yet to say a word, only punching people. Maybe next week he'll come out and do a promo. Monday Night Raw for tomorrow. Rhea Ripley kicks off the show. Randy Orton appears. Intercontinental Champion Braun Breaker defends against Sami Zayn in a 2 out of 3 pinfalls match. I guess they're giving this some time since it was only 5.5 minutes on the pay-per-view. Number one contenders match for the women's tag team titles. Damage Control versus Shayna and Zoe Stark. Damian Priest versus Carlito. And American Made versus Alpha Academy. Cool. And that ends our WWE portion of the show. this was interesting. Danielson, turn on, before we go into Collision, Danielson said, the odds are he will get neck surgery by the end of the year. This was the Jim Ross interview on Collision. I think it's good to have Jim back. He's obviously one of my favorite commentators. But
I like
nice
him
to
doing
him
these interviews.
Doing these, exactly. And he's done these for decades, and it's always been really good. He's really good in that soft setting of just him and whoever the other person is, and they discuss what they're doing. I thought they did a very good job here. Collision started off with Darby Allin and Hologram defeating the premier athletes, Josh Woods and Tony Nese. Dustin Rhodes narrated a video package hyping up the Texas Bull Rope match between Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo.
This was really good. That was a really good way to do that.
It was a really good way, and Dustin is so good. Texas Bull Rope match. Thunder Rosa defeated Deonna Purrazzo. This was pretty bloody, as both women were bleeding. Thunder finally got her win back. Very good job. I thought they put on a really, really good match. I enjoyed this. Hard work, both of them. Now, in my favorite, a very 80s style vignette for the Outrunners played. Okay? It looks like it was shot on an old Panasonic VHS, like one of these that my dad had growing up. He had a JVC. He had one of these JVCs that he would take to the park, and he had backup batteries on it. You remember those ridiculous things? Oh. He had this, and it was like this. It's amazing how this stupid little phone.
It could have almost been one of those. It could have been one of those 8mm films. Is that how it looked? It was so. Yeah. It had such that retro vibe. I just cracked up. I thought it was so. Yeah,
dude, look at it. So they ended up facing FTR. They defeated the Outrunners. Truth Magnum and Turbo Floyd. There's no better names in professional wrestling than that. I want to see them win some. They're a great team get guys over because you're kind of invested in them because they look, they're such a throwback. And I love the corny 80s throwback character. I love that stuff. Give them some wins.
This is the kind of characters that just randomly get over and you didn't expect it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Acclaimed. They were doing the Scissor Me thing, and then it caught on. This is the kind of stuff that just naturally takes on a life of its own. And before you know it, these guys are in big matches. So you never know.
I think they're from OVW, right? The Outrunners?
I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, they did the NWA. They were all over the place. They did NWA. Okay. They did OVW. Very cool stuff. I'm trying to see. Yeah, they have a great look.
So such a great look. Southern wrestling personified.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know what's funny? Like, even like, remember like the Beverly Brothers?
Yeah.
Right? Same deal. Really? I mean, it's like that same weird, I can't put it, and it's such a different character, right? Like, the Beverly Brothers was so different than this, but just, there's something so nostalgic about two dudes that are loud and screaming wearing purple spandex. Right up my alley. That's right up my alley. Roosh defeated Preston Vance. This match was put together by Don Callis so Roosh could prove himself. Open challenge elimination match. Swerve Strickland defeated Tomohiro Ishii. Now, there was a lot of... Did you see the internet discourse about this?
That the match shouldn't have happened or something? I don't know.
They did not like this the elbow to the neck spot because of how it looked. And even Rob Van Dam made a comment about it. I don't know. I was kind of cockeyed at that point from my evening watching this. So I wasn't affected by it. But I looked online this morning and so many people were complaining about this. I'm like, it's just one spot in an entire match. Okay. Whatever. Claudio Castagnoli was in the back saying he wants to win the Continental Championship before this year's Continental Classic. So here it comes. The setup is here. I'm looking forward to that match. You know, on Friday when we were talking about this on Mattman, I told Rich, I'm like, I don't want to see Claudio and him.
But they're doing it on Dynamite in Cardiff, so...
Yeah. He said he wants to show... So I'm curious what the match is on the pay-per-view. Right?
Moxley, maybe? Maybe Moxley comes back?
Moxley and Okada?
At All In?
Okay. I'll take that. I'd be very into
that. I will take that... I will take that every day, six ways to Sunday.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be, honestly, I thought this was going to be the match on the pay-per-view. Now they're going to do it in Cardiff on the 21st. Very cool. So you got 10 days. You were 10 days away from that. Chris Statlander, Stokely Hathaway, interviewed by Lexi.
This fascinates me.
Yeah.
I'll let you go into it.
Yeah. They showed a promo that Willow Nightingale cut on Rampage where she was interrupted by Ishii.
Of all people.
Of all people. Who said he didn't like Stokely either. Are we getting a Stokely Hathaway, Chris Statlander versus Willow Nightingale and Tomohiro Ishii match?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
All in. All in.
What? Hour. You know, poor Stokely. Poor Stokely. What a great character he is, huh? Fantastic.
Oh, he's so good. He's going to come out in the most ridiculous. I wonder if they'll end up doing a bait and switch or something, but it just the visual of him facing off with Ishii is going to make my day, make my morning as it will be.
Yeah. You also had Top Flight and Action Andretti and Layla Gray. They were backstage with Lexi. Lexi said that MXM, I love them, by the way, had asked for this interview but couldn't be found. Okay, they were kneeling, and just stood up. Top Flight would challenge them to a match, but they said they weren't cosmetically cleared to compete. I believe Mansoor has a nail problem.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I got to get Mansoor on the show. You know, we were going back and forth because my father, and you know, listen, my father's like, he's 70, but like he has bad vision, okay? And one, I was watching something on TV and it was Mansoor. And my father thought it was me.
Oh, dear.
He goes, you look good. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, that you look good. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, your body, you look good. I'm like, do you think we all look alike, Dad? We all look the same? Yeah, that is one of the funniest things Fred has ever said. Unbelievable. Sheeta defeated James. This was probably to heat up Sheeta because Sheeta challenged Mercedes Moné for Wednesday. That is a match I want to see. Very good match. I'm curious about this. And then we got the Danielson sit down with Jim Ross, which we spoke about. Danielson said probably by the end of the year, he's neck surgery. This playing it cool and calm and not wanting that title. I don't know how I feel about it.
It bugs you.
It bugs me, man. It bugs me. You're Brian freaking Danielson. Not to steal someone else's gimmick. You're one of the greatest wrestlers that I've ever seen in person or on TV. I'm a huge Danielson fan. You can't tell me that this guy isn't great. And what he achieved with that whole yes movement and what he achieved his entire career being a smaller guy is remarkable to me. I want to see this guy win that title, and he needs it. And then we got AEW Trios title number one contendership match with Christian Cage, House of Black, versus the Bang Bang Gang, which was Austin Gunn, Colton Gunn, and Juice Robinson. It ended in a draw where both teams, essentially what happened was Christian was doing a fast count. They were all laid out, so he's doing a fast 10. And at 9, Buddy Matthews stood up. And as he stood up, Christian speared him and then gave the 10 count. Then the patriarchy came out and gave them all a beatdown.
I guess we're getting a triple threat.
Okay, cool. Like. All right, cool. I'm into this. All in 2024 so far, we are 11 days away, 12 days away, right?
It'd be 14.
14 days away? 2 weeks. Yeah, two weeks
away.
2 weeks
from today.
Yep. Currently, there's 45,000 tickets distributed. There's about 6,100 tickets that remain. I think these are going to go. They'll be over 50,000 for the show. Big, massive crowd. Not as big as last year, but doesn't have to be. Nobody was expecting that with a little bit of the decline that they've had. But should be a very interesting show. A lot of things are going to... Maybe that's where we get the announcement for TV. If that's the case. When we come back, final segment of the show, Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline, the final segment of the show. Guys, do me a favor. Hit me up on X. Follow me, at Andrew Zarian. I'm there. I've been quiet. I've been a little quiet. The summer was busy for me. September comes. I'm back in the action. We said, Tony Khan said that there's going to be the most important announcement in AEW history coming soon. We also saw Anna Jay win her Stardom debut. I like Anna. She's improving a lot. AEW also revealed the location for Wrestle Dream 2024. It's taking place on a Saturday. Saturday, October 12th at the Tacoma Dome in Tacoma, Washington. Maybe this is Danielson's goodbye match.
Maybe it's against a certain announcer.
Maybe it's against a certain announcer. We don't know. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Looking forward to that. And also, Triple H congratulates inaugural WWE NIL class member on Olympic gold. 24-year-old Russell is competed in her first Olympics in Paris and took gold in the 100-meter hurdle. Fantastic stuff. The NIL has been a win for them. They put together a very good program here with tremendous, collegiate athletes. I mean, the best of the best, really, that they're finding. You know, a lot of these sports, you do the Olympics, you get an endorsement, you make a couple bucks, but what are you doing afterwards?
Yep.
If you have a guaranteed job to be on TV, you're set. Your career is set. It's up to you then. You have an opportunity. Looking forward to everything that's going to come up this week. Brian's back on Monday. Wrestling Observer. I'm back on Tuesday with Garrett Gonzalez on Observer for We're Live Pal. Also Friday, Matt Men with Rich, where it's now wrestling adjacent, that show. And a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live. We'll see y'all next time. Take care.